Hey y'all, Bina 007 here to talk about today at the BFI London Film Festival. And the two films I watched were a tearjerker called Lion, starring Dev Patel, based on a true story. And the second film was called Planetarium by Vanessa Zlotofsky, a much less successful film, although in its way, somehow more outstanding. So to begin with Lion, this is a two-hour movie, Indian-Australian production, and it stars Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire and the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel as an Australian-Indian boy called Saru, who, when he goes to university in Melbourne, having been adopted by white Australian parents, suddenly starts to remember all sorts of things from his Indian childhood, and specifically that he has a mother and a brother and a sister somewhere in northern India. And that when he was young, maybe 4 or 5, through an absolute accident, he ended up on a train and over 2 days traveled 1,600 kilometers east of that village to Calcutta and just couldn't find his way home. He was a kid. He didn't speak Bengali. He barely even really knew the name of his town or the name of his family. So this is a boy who could really have been imperiled and ended up in a real Slumdog Millionaire story of abuse and violence, but somehow gets into a state orphanage, which frankly in India at that point still opens you up to exploitation. But thanks to a very good-hearted social worker, he ends up being adopted by the Australian family. And in the movie, his parents are played by Nicole Kidman in a very emotionally affecting performance, and David Wenham, who sadly doesn't really have much to do, but you'll remember him as Faramir from Lord of the Rings. So, at any rate, the adult Dev Patel goes to university, he gets a girlfriend in the shape of Rooney Mara. Again, exceptional actress, not really given anything to do in this film other than be supportive and loving. And he decides to try and do this wild goose chase after his real family. All he knows is that he turned up at the Calcutta railway station. He has to figure out the historic train speeds and work out from the time he was on that train what is the search radius. But it basically covers like half of India. And all he knows is that he landed at this railway station from his hometown railway station, that there was a water tank. So he's trying to use Google Earth to find the pictures of the hometown. Oh, it's unbelievable that he found his family. And actually, the movie does a little bit skate over the sort of specifics of how that worked. And of course, you know, there's no guarantee that when you find your hometown, your family is still going to be there, that they haven't moved, that they haven't, something bad hasn't happened to them. And of course, there's an emotional life to this film, right? Because Dev Patel plays Saru as the loving, obedient son who doesn't want to hurt his adoptive family. You know, as much as he wants to find his real family, he doesn't want to hurt them because they've been lovely to him. And also, I think he feels this even more because his adopted brother, Mantosh, or Mantosh, as we would say in Indian, has not had an easy time assimilating. So where Lion works well is it's beautifully photographed. The landscape photography of India and Australia is beautiful. And the performances are very good. And the final half hour of this two-hour film, I mean, it's going to be very hard not to cry. It's a real tearjerker. And not in a cheap way. I mean, it's genuinely very emotionally affecting. My criticisms would be that it is what it is. You know, there's no deeper meaning here. It's just, you know, decent guy from nice family tries to find home family in India. I think there's a missed opportunity here. I think that the director, Garth Davis, could have really explored what it means psychologically, emotionally, to be adopted into a different culture. And in the character of the brother, or the real-life brother, Mantosh, they could really have gone into that because he obviously had real trouble assimilating. And maybe because it's a real-life story, they felt that they needed to respect the brother and not do that. But it makes for, I think, a less gritty, less interesting film. The other thing is the film has quite a slow pace. And I think that perhaps the director might have done better to begin with the grown-up character of Saru, played by Dev Patel, and then sort of flash back to his childhood and what happened on the night when he went missing, just to keep the pace going a little bit more. I'm not sure it really needs to be 2 hours, in other words. Nonetheless, Lion is very good, a definite audience favourite at the London Film Festival, and an absolute definite tearjerker. As I said before, the movie has a running time of 128 minutes. It played London, Austin and Toronto 2016. It's going to be released in the USA and Canada on November 25th and in Australia on January the 19th. And I'm trying to see if there's a UK release date and I cannot find one. But you can get the updated release dates and also release dates for other countries on the blog at beena007.com, which is where I have the full written reviews for all these films. Okay, so on to Planetarium, which was the second and final film of today. This is a real oddball of a movie. it's the best way to describe it. Basically, there was, in real life, a very famous film producer in France called Bernard Nathan, who I think was a Romanian Jew. And he comes to France and sort of late 1910s and effectively takes over what's going to become the legendary Pathé Cinema Studios. So he becomes this incredibly powerful, influential pillar of the French cinema community. And, you know, always has a little bit of the air of the scandal about him. It's rumoured that he used to direct and indeed star in hardcore porn films, because obviously the history of cinema is intertwined with the history of porn. But his story is a very tragic one, because despite his power and influence, when the Nazis come, he's effectively shopped by the French state and sent to Auschwitz, never to be seen again. And it's a story that could be an amazing film. And it feels to me like it could be a film like Cabaret, where you have this incredibly glamorous, amazing world of the movies. And almost on the peripheral vision, you see the rise of anti-Semitism. And almost too late, you realize just how desperate the situation is and that your power means nothing. But that, sadly, is not the film that the director, I think I've been saying Vanessa, the director Rebecca Zlotowski has chosen to make. She transforms this guy's life into a fictional character called André Corbin, played by Emmanuel Salinger. And she then throws in all this other material, like, she has these two sisters who are spiritual mediums, played by Natalie Portman and Lily Rose Depp, who is Johnny Depp and Vanessa Paradis' daughter. So she has these two American sisters, the Barlow girls, come to France, and this film producer becomes obsessed with them. And he's almost like Arthur Conan Doyle, who was just obsessed with spiritualism and wanted to prove that ghosts exist. So basically, Corbin, the film producer, diverts all this money from his company to effectively run all these weird-ass experiments on the younger sister, who's the one who supposedly has the gift. And, you know, he tries to prove to his film crew that he's managed to capture a spectral being on film, much to their cynicism and disbelief. And meanwhile, the elder sister, played by Natalie Portman, he tries to create as a film star. It's just weird. Like, what does he want from them? Does he want her to be a film star just so that it diverts attention away from the little sister? Or, I don't know, at one point I thought this was going to become a very creepy film, and it just sort of never did. And then, bubbling under the surface, you do have the rise of anti-Semitism. So very casually, a guest at a cocktail party will say how much he admires Mussolini, half-joking. Or, you know, when they go to the south of France to make the movie, one of the film crew will show Natalie Portman's character a porn film, as if to slander the name of the director. And she suddenly realizes, gosh, you know, sentiment's turning against this guy. But I don't know, I just find that Planetarium doesn't really know what it wants to be. Does it want to be a cabaret-style film that just shows you the glamour and the glitz, and then has the menace of anti-Semitism underneath it? Does it want to be about this producer? Is it sort of a fake biopic? It just doesn't coalesce. And so this final tragedy of what happens to this producer has absolutely no emotional power, because we haven't been allowed to become engrossed in his life. The film has been so bloody unfocused and ramshackle that, you know, you're constantly having your attention drawn out of the film as you're sitting in your seat wondering what the hell's going on. And so all you can really judge it on, or as, is just sort of a set of tableau vivant, almost. And in that respect, it really does succeed, because the costumes are beautiful, the hair, the kind of the Marcel waves. The 1920s and 1930s in Paris have never looked more beautiful. And in Lily Rose Depp and Natalie Portman, you have two exceptionally beautiful actresses to show that off. But they don't really get to act much. I mean, Lily Rose Depp hardly at all. And this doesn't really work as a film, let's be honest. The only reason why I would suggest you still go and watch it, other than if you're really fascinated with period costume, is the soundtrack by Robin Couder, who I'd not heard of before, but It's amazing it's the array of instruments he uses and how he uses the rhythms, the instrumentation. It's an almost expressionistic soundtrack. I mean, it overwhelms the action at certain points, and it feels like he's powerfully directing the action and directing your feelings. It's one of the most vivid and intrusive and superb soundtracks since, I think, There Will Be Blood. It's that good. So I would strongly urge you to check out the film just for the soundtrack, but other than that, it's just, there's too much going on. I'm not saying it's not all good in its way, but it's just a bit of a mess. So Planetarium has a running time of 105 minutes. It doesn't yet seem to have a commercial release date in the UK or US, although I think it's being released in France later this year. But do check back, because I'm sure someone will pick it up for distribution given the wattage of the actresses who were involved. So with that, two kind of flawed but interesting films, I think, today, Lion and Planetarium. Stay tuned. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Brimstone and Their Finest, as well as hopefully finally getting around to reviewing Christine and Kate Plays Christine. So it might be a sort of an extra long episode tomorrow. At any rate, whatever you watch this weekend, I hope you have a lot of fun at the cinema and that you might check out some of these films. They're flawed, but they are interesting and worth a bit of your attention.